Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Never Tell Me the Odds. So a lot of you maybe have never played the Star Wars RPG before. You like Star Wars, you like RPGs, but you go, what is a Star Wars RPG? The purpose of this little short episode is just to acquaint you with like the basic rules so you guys can follow along at home. So you've got me, David Crennan, here. I do the GMing on all the other episodes. And I'm also here with Andrew Jones.
Hello.
Who plays Gippy Bindu.
Hello there.
Okay, great. For the sake of our listeners at home, can you describe a little bit what Gippy Bindu looks like or sounds like?
Gippy Bindu is like Admiral Akbar, the It's a Trap guy. Mm-hmm. If he was in his late 80s, on his way out the door in terms of... kind of on his last legs, and weighed excess of 400 pounds.
Yes. I'm also going to be drinking over the course of this, so if you hear glass clinking, that's me drinking booze. Okay, so...
I like it.
Thank you. allow me to part the veil of reality. Andrew, allow me to part the veil of reality. This is not a nice air-conditioned room we're sitting in. You find yourself upon a Lambda-class T4A luxury shuttle, zipping through a starfield in deep outer space somewhere on a diplomatic mission from Mon Cal, also known as Dac, to some anonymous planet somewhere in the galaxy. The chair, the wide bench seating that you're sitting on is like really pale Corellian leather. It's very, very supple. Close at hand, you have like a polished walnut end table with like a bowl of ice and a fine glass decanter of some excellent liqueur in it. You know, there's a tray of nuts somewhere. It's just a wide open, you know, ambassadorial in every aspect. Just absolutely high class luxury. A small crew is in here. The pilot's at the helm, flying along. Little security detail guy standing off to one side. There's also a droid. What do they call it? Like a protocol droid is also present as well. He's like black with like golden kind of highlights standing there.
Gibby would probably be either regaling the protocol droids who are programmed to endure one of his long-winded diatribes. So
so there's... Uh-huh. Yes. Sir. Very interesting, sir.
Yes, and indeed. And although yes, many Bothans died that day, mostly due to space dysentery.
Yes, sir. Very amusing.
I was able to keep down every last shred of... The corpses of my fellow Mon Cal who died in that plane crash. Excuse me, that spaceship crash.
Yes, sir. Very prudent.
I must say, I would never resort to cannibalism again unless asked. But I will say that our species is incredibly delicious uncooked.
We cut out and we suddenly see... So we see our little Lambda class go... And it's heading towards some planet in the distance. And then suddenly, ominously, from overhead... That white wedge triangle of the Star Destroyer sweeps into view. Cue the ominous music, and then turbo laser fire rocks your ship. Warning lights go on everywhere. Woot, 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 woot. You're unceremoniously rolled off of the bench onto the ground. Like sparks blast out of the wall panels. The ship is jostled wildly. The pilot goes, "What? An Imperial Star Destroyer here!" As like, and he's dead all of a sudden on the panel, and then it's just havoc, complete havoc.
Quigley, is there a daycare center on board? I wish to take refuge during the crash. Also a place that would provide me with an ample food supply if I need to resort to cross-species cannibalism once again.
No one's paying attention. Even the protocol droids are desperately attempting to keep the fires under control that have suddenly broken out. A resounding voice suddenly comes on, overriding the intercom system on the ship, and it's like... This is Imperial Interceptor. Your Lambda-class shuttle matches the description of an unauthorized diplomatic mission to these regions. Power down engines and come to an immediate halt for boarding. Unfortunately, at that point, your security detail like lunges forward to the control panel, pushes the pilot, the dead pilot, out of the seat, and throttles all the way up. And like, poof, you guys like leap forward. In the podcast, we do a lot of cameos with basically celebrities, sometimes fictional characters that we'd like to see cast in it. So I have a dice map here that I'm going to roll for, which is just basically I'm going to roll randomly and see which celebrity comes up who will be voicing the security officer. Russell Crowe. So security officer played by Russell Crowe. I'll do my best Russell Crowe voice here to play off of Andrew.
It's me, Russell Crowe. All right. Look, I'm sorry you ambassador ship, but I've got to get us out of here. This is a rebellion mission. There's a essential information about the rebel bases in one of these droid heads. We can't let the Imperials get us.
And then more shots, and you guys lunging forward. Any reaction to that, Gippy?
Yes, I agree. We cannot be detained by the Imperials. I say that we bargain this information with them in exchange for our freedom.
Are you done? Insane. We can't possibly betray the rebellion, and then
more turbo layer fire, and then there's another explosion, and you're thrown to the ground, and Russell Crowe rolls over and hits the ground, and there's smoke coming off of his chest and shrapnel embedded in his breastplate.
Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe, they got me. They got me. That's so much. Your ambassadorship, please, you have to listen to me.
Yes, I will slow cook you for several hours if the spaceship crashes.
That droid there has essential information for the rebellion embedded in his processes. You have to extract it.
And then you guys are hit again. And then the Imperials pick up again. Escape is useless. Prepare all cannons. This is all coming from an intercom, which is now right by your head, Gippy, and you seem to be the last living creature on board. And like the targeting computers light up on the control panel, and you can see it's like target lock, and it looks like you're about 2 seconds away from being blasted into smithereens.
Wait! I press a button. excuse me.
Yes. I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is Gippy Bindu. I used to be on the Senate for my home planet, Dac, as well as one of the most illustrious ambassadors in the history of Republic politics. Anyway, I'm just calling to say that I might have some valuable rebel information that, if you were to destroy this ship, you would lose.
Okay, so this is a perfect time to talk about skill checks.
Yes. I would like him to make a negotiation roll for my life in exchange for the crucial plans of the Rebellion.
So, I love it. Yeah, for the Rebellion's plans. Wonderful. So, the basic mechanic of the Star Wars game is a little bit different from a lot of other RPGs. It's a little different from D&D. There are dice, but there are two different sets. Mm-hmm. We have the skill dice, which the characters roll to determine how good they are or how likely they are to succeed at something.
Yeah.
We have the difficulty dice, which I, as the GM, decide what the difficulty of a task is, and you're basically rolling against those.
Right.
So you gather all these skill dice and difficulty dice together into a die pool, and you end up rolling a bunch of dice, and fundamental goal is to see if you have a success or failure. The way we determine that is there are four symbols, and if you guys can go to the website right now, www.starwarsrpgpodcast.com, and you'll see some pictures of these dice. The skill dice have a little symbol that means advantage and a little symbol that means success. The difficulty dice have a little symbol that means failure and a little symbol that means threat. Failure and success cancel each other out. Advantage and threat cancel each other out. So we roll up all these dice, we throw them down on the table, and then you can kind of just visually look at which symbols cancel each other out. And if the end result is a success, no matter what you were trying to do or how tough it was, you succeed. And if it's a failure, no matter how easy it was or whatever, it's a failure. So it's just that simple. The skill dice come in two colors, basically. Green, your average ones. Yellow means you're really specialized in it.
Yeah.
The green dice are like an 8-sided die, and the yellow dice is a 12-sided die. Okay, so Gippy, how many skill dice do you have on your negotiation check?
I have 3 green dice, 1 yellow die.
So that's a really good dice pool. So why don't you go ahead and roll that up?
What is the difficulty I'm rolling with?
Just 2 purple, that's standard difficulty. 2 purple against 3 green and a yellow.
Oh, wow. I basically rolled 4 success symbols, 4 failure symbols, and 3 advantage symbols.
And you hear the guy go, hold fire. It sounds like there's a little bit of talking on the other end. So you said you have 4 success, 4 failure, and 3 advantage.
Correct.
Great. So, listener, if we break that down, the success and the failure negate each other, which means it's a failure overall. If you don't have at least 1 success, it's a failure. So, Gippy, I'm sorry, but you failed at your negotiate check. However, there's an extra little quirk in this. You have three advantage. Advantage and threat are calculated independently from success and failure. So even though you failed on this, you've still generated a significant amount of advantage. So advantage, if you have a lot of advantage on a roll, that means even if you failed, something in the situation works out in your advantage, helps you out. Really simply, you might imagine if you're fighting somebody and you tried to hit them and you miss, but if you had advantage, you flanking them or, you know, you knock them down or something like that. On the other hand, you could have succeeded but generated a lot of threat. So maybe you hit them, but then your weapon flies out of your hands or something like that. That's just one simple example. So in this case, you failed, but you have a lot of advantage.
Basically, I've got to figure out how to roleplay a situation mm-hmm. where the Empire doesn't care about losing that information, but somehow, in some small way, that gives the advantage to me.
And actually in a pretty major way, because you've got three advantage.
Right, exactly. So perhaps they don't believe me, they don't want to negotiate with me, but my advantage is they decide instead to kill me, to bring me on board and interrogate me mercilessly until I probably die in front of them.
That sounds good, okay. So usually what we do at the table is the success and advantage, I let the players tell me what that is. The failure and the threat, however, I get to decide what that is. So in this case, failure, they go, disable the craft. We are bringing you in for augmented interrogation techniques. Like a tractor beam hits the ship, and you're like, oh dear. And you start getting pulled back towards the cargo bay on the Star Destroyer.
Fools, little they knew this is all part of my cunning plan. Also, I love the feel of interrogation droids.
Even as you're soliloquizing to yourself,
I'm still talking the fucking protocol droid.
And Russell Crowe's character rolls over still and goes,
"Yes, one thing, you've got to get the memory chip out of that droid. It's essential."
Right. I think that will be advantageous in negotiating my release. Thank you, old boy.
And he dies. Russell Crowe's gone. The droid comes over to you. Yes, hello. How can I serve you, sir?
Well, we don't have time, otherwise I would ask you to assist me in carving up the sweetest and most tender meats from this unfortunate compadre of ours.
They don't have Spanish in Star Wars.
And for this most unfortunate compatriot of ours, his last words were that he would provide us sustenance in our time of need, so it's all right that he had to be tried in court. I've set the precedent myself, actually.
I believe he said something about taking essential memory chips from me.
Oh, yes, my bargaining chip. Hold on, let me crack open your skull and...
Wait, do you have advanced computers knowledge?
Well, I imagine that... I don't know what effect it'll have on you. I'm imagining it'll be as simple as just pulling out a few of the circuits out of your skull.
Let's make another skill check here. So, we're going to roll up a computers check this time. Now, this isn't one I assume you're very well trained in.
Actually, Gippy's kind of smart, so he has 3 skill.
So I'm actually going to hit you in this particular... This is going to be a 4 purple difficulty. So we're going to do the skill check in 1 second. First thing we need to do, though, is introduce the force point rule. This is, of course, Star Wars. We have force points in it. Force points are represented on the table by these little tokens we have. On one side, they've got a symbol representing the light side. On the other side, a symbol representing dark side. At the beginning of each game, each player, including myself, goes around, rolls up a special force die that shows us how many light side or dark side points we get. So, Andrew, you want to go ahead and roll one? I'll go ahead and roll one here.
Well, I got 2 light side.
Great, I have 2 dark side points.
I believe we just brought balance to the force.
I love it. Well, and that's actually a great point. So, whenever I want to use a dark side point, as the GM, I only use dark side points. When I flip it over, it turns into a light side point, which gives more for Andrew to use, or all the players.
Yes.
So there is always balance in the Force.
It's true. There has been an awakening in both the dark and the light.
We have 2 dark side points I can use. I'm going to use 1 of them. I flip it over to a light side point. What that lets me do, and it's the same effect for the players, I get to upgrade a die. So if Andrew used it, he could turn one of his green die into a yellow die. However, since I'm using it, I'm going to turn one of my purple dice into the dreaded red dice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so you actually have to roll 3 purple and a red against 3 green.
Got it.
Okay, and now normally that would be all and I would leave you at that. However, we're going to introduce the final 2 type of dice. Are you keeping up, listeners? Again, remember, if you go to the website, you'll be able to see visual representation of this, StarWarsRPGPodcast.com. The final 2 dice are very simple. They're just 6-sided dice. Boost die and setback die. boost die are if you've got high ground, I'll give you some boost die. A lot of times we resolve advantage on a roll by giving you some extra boost die on a future roll. Setback die, the exact opposite. They've got some failure and threat on them, so I can throw that on. In this case, you're on a ship that's severely damaged. Lights are flashing. Your stabilizers are going down, and it's shaking around and things like that. Tractor beams pulling you in, and the clock is ticking. So I'm going to go ahead and throw onto your three purple and a red one setback die.
Fair enough.
And let's see how that works out for you here.
Okay, now I'm going to flip this around on you because basically I believe that the light side of the force is willing Gippy to continue living mm-hmm. because he has been such a positive force for change in the galaxy and will continue to be for many, many, many years. Surprising all how many more years to come.
Okay.
So I'm going to flip over a light side point.
Okay.
And I'm going to upgrade my green die to a yellow proficiency die.
Awesome.
All right. So I'm rolling up a whole mess of dice here, which always feels good. I have three difficulty die, purple difficulty die, one red challenge die, two green skill die, one yellow proficiency die, and one black setback die.
Right. Okay. So a lot of dice. Let's roll those up.
All right.
And remember, so what we're looking at is we're looking for advantage and threat and success and failure and seeing what cancels out. So Andrew's doing that right now.
Well, I fail massively.
Oh, no.
Massively, massively, massively. Even if you, with everything canceled out, all of the threat and advantage cancel each other out. So there's no secondary effect here. But it's a total of three failures.
Three failures. Okay, again, that's a pretty big roll. We've had some big rolls here at the beginning. One failure is enough to screw it up. So three failures, you basically did three times as bad. So in this case, it's a failure. I get to interpret that. So I'm going to say you get in there. If you get the back of head off and he kind of powers down.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And you just see it's all just blooping lights and complex wires and circuitry. And you're like, yes.
I think for dramatic effect, he should be awake for the duration of this.
No. Yeah, I can feel my memories.
Father. No.
Too freaky. Freaks me out. So, he powers down, and you're just like, there's bleeping lights. And you just kind of mash your hand into there and just, like, pull out just a variety of wires and chips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you just have kind of a handful of just a big chunk of his memory core.
Right.
He's gone. And then you kind of, like, slap the back of the thing back on his head, and he's like, like, something's clearly wrong with him. His one arm starts, like, spinning around in circles.
So I've got the clump of wires, and I go, well, down the hatch it goes.
Oh, no.
And Gippy just swallows down the memory chip. Like, there, it's safer now than anywhere else in the galaxy. I put it in what I like to call the old Sarlacc pit. It'll digest in there for 1,000 years.
All right. The ship lands. The hatch is forcibly driven, like, pulled down by a couple stormtroopers with techno tools of some sort. And, like, four stormtroopers, like, march onto the ship. Outside, you can see that, like, antiseptically white hangar lit up all by, like, fluorescent lighting and... come with us!
Oh, very well, my new compatriots. Lead on. I'm sure we have much to discuss.
All right, and they issue you out of the ship.
Does the droid come with me?
Nope, droid, actually, they go, what is that? Some sort of malfunctioning
droid? That's just a bunch of junk. Trust me, I took all the interesting parts of it. It's not a person.
Right, jettison into outer space. And then it's just, no, well, we won't do that yet. The stormtroopers grab the clearly malfunctioning, badly damaged droid, drag it off the ship, shove him into the garbage disposal. One of the stormtroopers just drags him off the ship while he's going, yes, it's a wonderful day.
And droids are so amusing. I can't wait for you to dispose of him.
That's exactly what we're going to do, says one of the stormtroopers, and drags him outside and goes, have a good day in here. Shoves him into a garbage thing, and they're just like on the side of the hangar somewhere, and it's just through like the pressure lock of the bay door. You just see like a little sparkling droid just get jettisoned down to space and just become a speck, like, flying towards, like, that distant planet.
You know, Star Wars for kids, fun adventure stories.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And okay. The character you're apparently following, no problems with that or cannibalism. All right.
A lot of fun. In this
fact,
podcast.
engineering situations in order to cannibalize people.
Oh, yeah. Are you sad at all that you didn't get to eat the pilot or security detail who came with you?
I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities for me to dine on the sweetest meats in the galaxy.
Oh, no. By the way, this is a new personality quirk, so which means at some point in the next 20 years, you've lost your taste for human flesh.
Yeah, what could that story be?
Hey, we'll see that in another special, another bonus episode somewhere. Okay, so the stormtroopers escort you through the hallways, all the way up, you know, these metal steps and into a turbo lift, and then bring you in front of, finally, a pair of, like, polished blast doors that snap open, and you see like an executive suite in front of you, all imperial style, immaculate floors leading up to like a single beautiful black piece of like metal desk with a light running around the rim of it, just a couple like sheets of paper like immaculately laid out in like geometric patterns on it, and standing behind it an imperial officer in that kind of beige uniform just waiting for you, played by, let's roll up again, Eartha Kitt. Do you think you could try?
Yeah.
Let's see how
well,
it goes.
There's an Eartha Kitt line that always gets me in the Eartha Kitt mood.
Okay.
I've had a child. Child's heart.
Imperial Officer Eartha Kitt, played by Jeanette X. So Jeanette...
Hello, David.
standing there, looks exactly like Eartha Kitt. So Gippy, one other thing we should talk about is obligation. So every character in the game has obligation. That plays out, basically, in the original Star Wars, think of Han Solo having, like, a gambler's debt to Jabba the Hutt that he has to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
To get that kind of same effect in the game, every character starts with a certain amount of obligation that ties into a dice roll. So at the start of the game, I make a roll and secretly know which character's obligation is triggered. Sometimes it's nobody, sometimes a couple characters. So right now, I'm going to roll it up. We only have one character at the table. Gippy, your obligation's triggered.
Aww.
Which means...
What are the odds?
Hey, never tell me the odds.
Oh, right.
I gotta work on
I
it.
I should have said that. I should have said, David...
What are the odds? That was perfect.
Is it?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
It doesn't work. Yeah, let me get that out. Okay, so your obligation triggers. So what that means is, one, you've got some sort of obligation that's tied to, we're going to say, Officer... whatever, Eartha Kitt, Officer Kitt.
What was her name in the... We should link her back to the main campaign.
Yeah, she obviously used to be a Star Destroyer.
I think it was a name you came up with that was really dumb.
Officer Vola? Getting back to the narrative here. Your obligation has triggered Gippy.
Oh, dear.
So mechanically what that means is this thing coming back is a stress on you. Basically, it's causing you trouble. Every character has two stats to kind of monitor your health. Wounds is like your hit points. So if you get shot by a blaster, you lose wound, and if you hit zero, you're out basically and you might die. Strain is like your endurance, kind of your stamina. That goes up and down a lot more. If that hits zero, you kind of pass out, but you also regain it more quickly. When your obligation is triggered, you immediately lose 2 strain. How much strain do you have, Gippy?
12.
12. So you're down to 10 because your obligation has been triggered. More importantly, what is this link in your past that you would have this sudden emotional reaction by seeing Officer Volva?
Just to give us a timeline, are we past the point where the Galactic Senate has been dissolved?
This is like the first 5 years of the Imperial presence showing up. The very inception of the rebellions, basically. You're still the official ambassador and senator for Dax/Mon Cal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imperials.
But the problem is the Imperials know that you have no real power. They call the shots. Your motivation, of course, is just you know that there were Imperial plans that got leaked to you by someone in the rebellion, this nascent rebellion.
I'm almost a deeper shit because of that. Because my obligation, though, is like I have an automatic like vengeance, mad dog vengeance against all Imperials.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the thing. So you've seen this Imperial officer standing there so pristine, looking at you with such disdain.
I'm sorry, miss, but if this is where I'm supposed to check into my suite, you seem to be giving off a most inhospitable vibe.
Oh, I'd say a little man, but we know that's not true.
That's absolutely not true. In many ways, That is incorrect.
The two stormtroopers behind you shove you in to the room, and the stand guard outside the door as the blast doors slide shut behind you.
I say now, this is no way to treat a prisoner. Next you'll tell me there's no champagne service.
Glancing around the room, now that you're inside, you can see that it's somewhat dimly lit. And you also notice for the first time that the walls have every type of gun and weapon imaginable. It's just hung all around the walls. So there's...
velvet.
Maybe not. Yes, a velvet.
Space velvet.
Space velvet, which is red still?
Yes.
Okay. Right. And so it's just like everything from a pocket-sized little sneaky blaster pistol to a blaster carbine to disruptor rifles, vibro axes... Everything is just covering the walls all the way around this room, which is, you know, 40, 50 feet by 50 feet.
My goodness, it's not through this moment that I realized I was trained in most forms of weapon combat.
So, I'll be quick. I'm looking for plans.
Plans?
I don't think anyone such as yourself would have access to these. So tell me you don't have them so I can get rid of you quicker.
Well, I mean, if I get rid of, does that mean that I will have at least a 3 or 4 course meal before being genteelly discharged back to my home planet with full compensation for my time?
No.
Partly compensated for my time, then.
How about I just kill you?
Well, I have to say that is that will prevent me from enjoying whatever kind of meal and or breakfast buffet you prepared for me before my arrival. So, let us negotiate, shall we? I do have in my possession, perhaps or not perhaps on my person, the plans in question. I would gladly exchange them in return for at least 3 to 4 tickets to said breakfast buffet, as well as my total freedom and immunity from any charges that you may bring against me as a result of my possession of these plans.
So, does Gippy believe he's in a hotel?
Well, the funny thing is, my reasoning behind this in terms of character motivation, the history of Dak is they were well known for their luxury cruise liners, but when they joined the rebellion, they converted those all into their warships.
Which must be very comfortable.
So their warships are like gotta be like super posh with like spa areas, and it's like,
why wouldn't you have a breakfast buffet?
Where is your which spa floor are we on? Yeah, that's a great point. It's like Bermuda deciding to go to war, and all of a sudden all these like carnival cruise ships that have, like,
yes,
howitzers like set on them and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. It's a like being in the Mon Cal Navy is probably really awesome. I could be completely wrong about all of that, however.
No, I think you're right about all that.
If I'm wrong about that, I don't want to be right.
Okay, you want to do a negotiation?
Yes, I want to negotiate. I'm just going to go for the brass ring here. I'm going to say unlimited access to the breakfast buffet until I'm transported safely home to Dak, in exchange for vital plans that may result in the toppling of the Empire.
So you've got no compunction about selling out the Rebellion?
Not at this juncture, but perhaps this is an origin story about why I may hate the Imperial.
The main reason I'm asking is this negotiate or deception? Because if you're trying to deceive her and you're not really going to reveal these plans, that would be deception. If you really are going to handle this over, that would be negotiation.
You know, I think never give away something you can make someone pay more for. So I'm going to say he actually is going to attempt to deceive her.
Deception check. Interesting. Okay. Well, that sounds very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is your deception?
It is 1 green and 1 yellow. I am trained in deception.
And Officer Volup, you're actually a very tough, cagey customer. So you actually have 1 red and 2 purple that's opposed by. And I'm actually going to use a dark side point again.
Mm-hmm.
Flip it over and turn one of those purple into a red.
Well, I'm going to use a light side point. And we're going to up the stakes here.
So it's 2 yellow, 2 red, and a purple. That's pretty phenomenally difficult. Do we have any boost or setback die on this? I think not. You guys are just facing each other down. All right.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no!
Despair. Okay, sounds good.
So what's interesting about this roll is I had a success, a failure, basically all of my advantage and all of my threat canceled out, and my success and failure canceled out, but I'm left with another symbol
Right, what actually came up in this role, and the reason Andrew cried out in rage there, despair came up. So there are two special symbols that come up sometimes. They're only found on our yellow die and our red die. So the really good die and the really bad die. Triumph on the good die, which is regardless of anything else that has happened on your roll, even if it's a failure, something awesome happens. Something triumphant and badass and cinematic and cool happens. And that I let the player decide. With despair, which is the opposite of that, something really terrible. Even if you totally succeeded, something awful comes up. So one example of that might be like, hooray, we shot all the stormtroopers and we're escaping, and crap, despair came up, so then the doors open and Darth Vader like sweeps into the room. Something like that. So in this case, despair came up. I get to make that call. So you've got a button on your desk that you can hit that opens up a pit underneath Gippy Bindu's feet and is going to drop him into a battle arena that you can Jabba the Hutt style that you can then watch over.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, little man.
Oh no, this is the most unorthodox way to get to the breakfast buffet.
Wham.
If he had advantage, he would have stuck in the hole and not fallen through.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but we didn't have advantage on that, so that's okay.
Right.
What kind of beast does he have to fight? It could just be another alien. It could be like a Gamorrean, or it might be a Rancor, or I don't know.
I'd like to think it's a swarm of adorable little fluff creatures. This is razor-sharp teeth hidden in little furry tufts. She's into really fluffy things that are deadly.
What an interesting twist of fate that someone obsessed with eating other people is now about to be eaten alive.
That is a twist of fate. So this swarm of monsters comes towards you. I don't know how you're going to get out of this one. Okay, it's like you fall onto the bottom of this thing, and again, it's just stainless steel walls. It's like a 15-foot by 15-foot metal pit, and you look up, and then like this metal grate like slides over the top. And Officer Volo walks up there and is looking down and gloating over you.
Well.
Oh, go ahead. And then one of the, like, half a dozen little holes slide open in the sides. And you suddenly see that there's, like, crimson splotches that no one has been able to scrub off of the stainless steel. Just, you know, soaked into it. And then with, like, a little, like, small, white, fluffy creatures start, like, bounce rolling out. Like, we're talking about 3 inches across, 4 inches across.
Yeah, like okay. A little small bunny rabbit. It's funny you wanted breakfast. You reminded me.
And they start, as they start bouncing towards you, like, fangs bare in their mouths, and they come
and
down on you.
And that's when Gippy's mini travels come into play, because I have 3 skill in xenology.
Oh.
So I would like to see if I know a way to instantly imprint upon these creatures and bring them into my command.
Love it. Okay, so go ahead and roll that up. So it's 3 green, you say?
Yes.
I might recommend you using a light side point on this.
I'm going to.
Great. Against only 2 purple.
Okay. So it looks like I'm left with a success, 2 threat, but also a triumph.
What?
That's awesome. So that means he succeeded very strongly just by the successes. However, he's incurred a pretty dangerous amount of threat, which means so not only did he succeed, but he's ended up in a worse situation. And he's triumphed. So all that aside, something amazing happens. You get a call, the success and the triumph, and I get to think what the threat is.
All right. So as the little things come towards me, I dimly remember that in terms of biology, in terms of genetics, the Moncals are not very different than these creatures.
Uh-huh.
And therefore,
what are these creatures called?
They're called Zaglites.
Zaglites, okay.
Yes. So the Zaglites have a very similar biology to Moncals. Therefore, my natural pheromones, which are intense even by Moncal standards, have an incredible effect on them, which means that they instantly view me as not only the most desirable mate possible, but also clearly, due to my incredible size,
oh, man,
the alpha male of the pack.
Oh no. So these things will start bouncing towards you and they swarm over you. The Imperial officer's looking
down. But they lift me up like a rat throne. And I'm just like...
That's so for a second, you just lose sight of Gippy underneath all of these, and you hear him going, and like, you know, the officer's laughing her arch laugh down at the guy. And then all of a sudden they swarm over you and you start, like you say,
and then I just rise from them until they're in a chair and there's just a blah, blah.
Akira style. Yeah. All right. So you're just, so Kippy, what do you say as you, they're at your beck and command?
Yeah, well, what's the threat? The threat is that everyone takes out their guns and
starts shooting at you.
Screams in bloody terror as this man.
That's great. So the two threat is that Volo pick up a flame projector and point it down through the cracks at you, and then like a row of fire shoots across the floor. It was only threat, so you're not going to take any damage, but she's ready to barbecue you alive down there.
Okay, and so I just like wave my arm in front and like a shield of rats. Like, defend me!
Yeah, and they're just like, they go up like cotton balls dunked in like oil. The heat's incredible on here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, and then like I just have one and I thought,
Yeah, and they taste, most people would say repugnant, but you think pretty good.
They're delicious.
So you're still trapped in this cage, and Volo going to open fire on you in a second. Literal fire.
Right, so if I could like use like them basically as like a rat hammer, mm-hmm. and just like basically smash through the gate.
Yeah.
The grate, and then just rise up out, and then...
That sounds good. So,
and then command them to hold all of the weapons in the room.
So you're trying to smash your way out of here.
Trying to command my newfound furry army to bash through the grate and launch me back into the room that I was just in with.
Okay, that sounds like Vola. That's great. That sounds like four purple again to do that.
Okay,
you have one last light side point if you want to use that.
Okay,
just throwing it out there. Which means all four dark side points now, which means fun for me.
All right, so another xenology roll to command them to do this. And it is a...
What?
It is a rousing success with considerable threat.
Oh, all right. Which, how much threat do we have on that?
We have three threat, and we have four successes.
Four successes, so no problem. So these things, like, rise up, and then they just, like, slam into this metal grate, and then you can just see they've got their real sharp rat, like, fangs out, and they're just, like, gnawing at it. And then all of a sudden, like, ping, ping, and you hear the grate give way, and then it's just a fountain of these things just fly out into the room. You didn't know you had so many.
They've been breeding.
Yes.
Alright, so Gippy, if you want to try and get out on the same turn in addition to commanding them, one of the rules that you can do is if you want to take an additional kind of action, usually it's a move action on your turn, you can take additional strain as you kind of force yourself. So would you like to take two strain to get out?
Gippy has to spend strain to get out of most entry and exit ways. So yes, I would like to spend some strain.
Take two strain, so you're down to eight. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like heave out, and you're on the floor, and these little furry white guys are all around you. Officer Volo, you're standing there with a flame projector. Would you like to make an attack roll?
I believe I would.
That's, you have two yellow and a green against just two purple.
Oh, okay, well, that is two successes and one threat.
So the way combat works with a weapon is there's two main weapon skills, ranged light, ranged heavy. Ranged lights for like blaster pistols, ranged heavies for rocket launchers, stuff like that.
Flamethrowers.
Flame projectors, as they call them.
Projector.
So you roll it up. If you get a success, that means you hit. Every additional success you get gives you one extra point of damage on that attack. And advantage, if you get enough advantage, allow you to trigger special abilities as well.
Like?
Every weapon has like a critical hit range, which means they do like a really bad injury to the person, and there's this whole chart. We won't get into that right now. But usually that takes like four or more advantage. You got threat on this one. That we can interpret however we want.
I'm stuck in a room with flaming rats.
I think that's a great way to interpret it.
Yeah, I think when you do that, just like
the charred bodies.
I didn't think this through.
Of rats, just start kind of like the spontaneous heat just makes them kind of like pop and explode,
ew.
And like their viscera is launched at you.
No.
Charred viscera.
My mouth was open.
So you definitely
Star Wars. Okay.
You definitely hit. So that would be the flames just. That normally does 8 points of damage. Plus, you have how many successes?
Two.
So that's 10 damage that you're going to take, Gippy. However, as the flames come blasting into you, and you bring up more rats to protect you, they all ignite, and the flaming rats go flying all across the room. And so exactly, you're in a room filled with flaming, mad rat monsters. This is damage you take to your wounds, to your regular hit points. How many
right.
do you have total?
I have a total of 12.
Great, you're taking 10.
Wow.
Now, luckily, there's one other stat we haven't talked about yet, and that is soak. And soak is how much armor you've got. Usually that's based on if you're wearing, if you're wearing stormtrooper armor, you've got a better soak than if you're just wearing regular clothing. What is your soak?
My soak is 3.
And what soak is, very simply, you just get to subtract that from the damage you take. So if she did 10, we get to subtract 3, which means a total of 7. So,
which means I have 5 wounds. It'll please you to know that I have forgotten to subtract soak on every single damage hit I've taken for the entirety of the campaign up to this point.
Well, I did that out.
Okay.
Okay, you catch a full blast of fire, and Officer Volop is standing there, unfazed, with a flame projector in her hands, ready to just incinerate you. The ball is in your court.
Slightly phased by all the flaming rats in the room.
I'm sorry, yeah, slightly phased.
Slightly phased.
You did get 2 threat on that, so we'll throw some setback dies on your future rolls here.
I'm going to command my army to procure all of the various weapons that were left on the walls in the room. That's another xenology roll.
Great, xenology again, that sounds great. The difficulty, I'm actually going to increase it from last time. So last time it was 4, this time I'm going to put it up to 5 purple, since this is a really difficult thing. I have tons of dark side points, so I'm going to upgrade one of those. So you're actually going to take a total of 4 purple and a red against your skill.
Okay, great. I don't know if I'm going to succeed, David. I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. This was my plan.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, go ahead. Roll that up. Tell me that there's no way that's a success.
Now, something that may please the viewers to learn
no, this can't be happening.
Is that die actually come... there's certain sides of the die that are blank. They mm-hmm. don't have anything on them. They don't have a success, a failure, a threat, or an advantage. So that worked out to my advantage. 2 of the purple die came up completely blank.
Oh, my God.
So it turns out I have 1 success and 1 threat.
And that's what's one of the crazy things about this game. You just rolled up so many dice. Wow. So you've got 1 success and 1 threat, which means, and I feel like I should have made the difficulty even harder. By the way, so standard difficulty is 2 purple,
yes.
Which means moderately hard. 3 purple is like hard. 4 purple is like really, really hard. 5 purple is considered nearly impossible. That was 4 purple and a red, which is harder than that. And you just killed it with 3 green. Okay, so you successfully command the Zeitlings. They rush the walls. This was the command, right? To have them take
right.
weapons and attack?
Yes.
You go, attack! And they all rush to the walls.
They don't know how to use weapons.
You wouldn't think so, but whatever pheromonal link that this man has to these creatures start like hopping up and like 2 or 3 got on each other's shoulders and are knocking off blaster pistols and stuff, and then... The other thing about these guys is they've got kind of a psychopathic streak to them. Just so like they start hopping around on the guns and start like a couple of them like pick up one of the plaster pistols and are kind of turning around over and you hear like a doo 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 doo, and then this spreads like wildfire through the 3 dozen creatures that remain, and all the guns like suddenly you see them start pointing them with real purpose.
Is
that going too far?
No, I just thought it would be fun. I was going to go 10 times farther.
Uh-huh.
And like they all get the guns together, and then like just one like old looking mouse comes up and is like, I am Zindu.
For decades my people have toiled in that room, but now you have released us, Gippy Bindu. It's like, Min, take the ship. Release you back to your home world and join the rebellion.
If there had been a triumph, that could have happened. plan. So you managed to convey with your success / threat.
Just through excreting various liquids and gases.
You kind of rough the idea out of grab weapons and attack. Beyond tech who, tech what, and what attacking really means, that's all kind of lost in this nebulous haze of these lust-crazed, manic rat bunnies. Basically, the room fills with laser fire immediately, including disruptor pistols. Another flame projector starts going off. You hear a grenade launcher go, and then... lights start going off in the room. Woot, 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 woot. The officer is probably rather bewildered by all this.
I've left through my escape hatch.
We see why you got demoted to...
You just go, cheese it!
And then station attendant later. You lose control of the ship.
You're, like, demoted, and it takes you, like, 30 years just to get back to, like, obscure, shitty space station superintendent.
Tell me again. This is my Darth Vader voice. Tell me again. How did the rabbits take over this Star Destroyer? That's a good Darth Vader. The blast doors snap open as to the sound of all this havoc. The two stormtroopers run in with their guns and are just immediately overpowered by these rabbit creatures. And one of them gets shot. They thought Ewoks were bad. Okay, in the Chaos Gippy, you're able to comically waddle your way out of the room.
Yeah, so Gippy waddles down the halls and he finds the escape pod, but as he's like, he's about to open the escape pod, he just looks over his shoulder real quick, and then he sees in the room opposite the escape pod is a breakfast buffet. And there's just a moment where he's just like, and do I need to make a willpower check?
That sounds like discipline.
Discipline? Okay.
Discipline check thing. And I'm going to turn... So that's probably two purple, right? So
yeah.
I'll send a dark side point, turn that into one purple and a red.
Okay, so I think I'm going to use a light side point too, because this does...
There's a real threat here. To
result in me possibly not getting to appear in any further episodes.
I'm sorry, notice
two that. Success, two threat. So I succeed in not just grabbing a plate and leisurely eating... I instead go over there, put as much space bacon and space eggs into, like, the front of my terry cloth muumuu, and then start to try and open up the door with one hand.
And I'll say your two threat is as you're stuffing crawlers. And crawlers, is that what they're called? As you're stuffing...
Crawlers, yeah.
It's like two or three crawlers into your mouth at a time.
Yeah.
You accidentally trigger your gag reflex. And the memory chip is accidentally disgorged from whichever part of your gullet it was stuck in, just as, like, the hatch opens up and you're like, brr. Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't recall why that's important.
And your arms are all full of breakfast.
Yeah, it would mean the decision between getting this useless information from some random robot I don't care about, or having a delicious breakfast buffet on my own personal escape pod back to Dak. So I think this is an easy choice for Gippy. He's going to go with the space bacon and eggs and leave the Death Star plans behind, essentially.
That's fine. Like, that gets left behind. You get into the escape pod, which you're kind of a snug fit in, especially with all the food. Yep, and we just do the little hatch in the back. We can see you sitting there, quite happy, big smile on your face. Breakfast foods arrayed in, like, a semicircle in front of you on all, like...
Gravity goes away, and they're just floating around.
And I mean, and the best part of that whole experience is no one was harmed.
And we'll say, so the Lambda class carrier still broadcasting the distress beacon, and Gippy, you are returned to your life as an ambassador, only to find out within a matter of years that job is completely dissolved.
And that's why he hates Imperials. He hates them not only because they dissolved the Senate, stripping him of all title and rank, but also because they tried to murder him with tiny rat creatures and did not willingly give him a breakfast buffet.
Yes. Now it all makes sense. Great. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. That's everything you need to know, basically, how to play. It's a great game. Go ahead and you can listen to episode one now. Don't forget to check out the website. Check us out on our Twitter, at NTMTOPodcast. That's Never Tell Me the Odds podcast. Tweet at us there. We're always looking for celebrity people to do impersonations of. Until next time, guys, may the Force be with you always.
Thank you for listening.
Long live the Empire.
No!